Amen. That's good news, isn't it? Thank you, Leland and Amy. That was awesome. God is awesome, isn't he? At the beginning of this new year, God just really put on my heart to really explore Abraham and his steps of faith. And I think you're going to see it's very practical for the days that we're living in. And in facing uncertainty, let's pray. Most gracious God, I just pray that you would pour out your spirit on this place, that you would be glorified, and that we may leave here as new people because we've spent time with Jesus. In his name we pray, amen. Facing uncertainty, we're going to look at Romans, the fourth chapter. Notice, beginning with verse 17, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations in the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead. All right, you're going to have to remember that. We serve a God who gives life to the dead. Amen? And calls into existence things that do not exist, that cannot exist, who contrary to hope and hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. Verse 19, he did not weaken in faith. This is talking about Abraham. When he considered his own body, which is good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb, no unbelief made him waver concerning the promises of God, but he grew strong in the faith and gave glory to God. And so Paul here is writing to the church in Rome. He's writing to the Roman Christians who were literally in the belly of the beast. Persecution, prejudice, problems were a daily reality. This book was written sometime 55 to 60 AD, and it was during a time when Christians were heavily persecuted, especially right there in Rome. Every day would have been a bout with uncertainty. Prejudices were strong. Problems were great. You know, you thought 2019 was rough. Your 2019 has nothing on what the Christians did and what they went through the first century. But that means that when Paul talks to them, he's also talking to us. The church faced constant uncertainty. And so Paul talks, and of all the people he could have talked about to give the people hope, he calls on Abraham. He mentions Abraham. And basically, the story of Abraham tells us that no matter how uncertain things may seem in your life, that you can have faith that God is going to do everything that he promised. That no matter what you're going through, and no matter how bad the situation seems, you have a God who's going to do everything that he said that he would do. Genesis 12, 1 through 2. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. You see, in order for him to be made a great nation, Abraham's got to be willing to step out in faith. You know, before God can do great things in your life, you have got to be willing to step out in faith. And I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. Think of all the certainty that Abraham leaves behind in order to follow the call of God. Abraham leaves his family. Abraham leaves his home. Abraham leaves his kindred. You know, everything that he grew up knowing, Abraham leaves. In fact, Hebrews says he went out not knowing where he was going. Abraham had no idea what he was getting into by leaving Ur and following God. Really, if we're honest, we have no idea what we're getting into in the year 2020. Life is a life of uncertainty. Nothing is guaranteed. Nothing. The job isn't guaranteed. Work for 30 years, and one day someone comes by, and like that, you're replaced. Job isn't guaranteed. Relationships aren't always guaranteed. World peace isn't guaranteed. Tomorrow isn't even guaranteed. Life is loaded with uncertainty. Life is loaded with uncertainty. Not only was life uncertain, did Abraham have to go through uncertainty, but Abraham had to wait a long time for what God promised him to actually come to fruition. Abraham's 75 when God makes this promise to him, and it isn't until he's 100 until he begins to even see God fulfill his promise. So Abraham had to wait 25 years just to see the beginning. You know, we don't like waiting 25 minutes. You know, some of us, it's just like we say a prayer and the next day God's not answered. Oh, Lord, have you forsaken me? No, Abraham had to wait 25 years. You're going to have to wait sometimes. You know, and not only did Abraham have to wait, but everything that started to happen was absolutely contrary to what God had promised. Everything was contrary. What do you do when everything that seems to be happening seems contrary to what God has said in his word? You know, what do you do when everything in your life is contrary to what the pastor was preaching? You know, you heard that you read in the Bible that if you're faithful with that tithe, God's going to open the windows of blessing and pour out such a blessing on you, you know, but you're still in debt. You know, the promise is blessing, reality is debt. You know, God promised that there would be healing, but maybe you're still sick. You know, maybe you still haven't gotten the promotion. Maybe you still haven't gotten married. For some of us, maybe it's, I'm still married. You gotta wait another 25 years. No, I'm joking. What God has brought together, and to let no one split apart. You still haven't gotten victory over that bad habit, and you've been praying for it. Man, you probably could have just dusted off your New Year resolutions off from last year for this year. Come on. Same resolutions. I want to do this. I want to do this. I want to do this. What do you do when life doesn't go the way you expected it to go, when God does not show up when, where, or how you wanted him to show up? What do you do? Well, what did Abraham do? What did Abraham do? That's what we're going to learn from today. Abraham did it by, right here, this is key, keeping his eye on the unseen city with real eternal foundations, the city designed and built by God. You see, friends, this world is not, you know, you can have all the money in the world and you can lose it the next day. That's not something with real foundations. Popularity is not something with real foundations. Because let me tell you, people were crying to crown Christ, you know, at the beginning of the week, and they were yelling, crucify him by the end of the week. People are fickle. That is not a foundation that you want to build your life on. You want to build your foundation on what is unseen, the city designed and built by God. You see, Abraham had to take his eyes off of what he could see and put it on what he could not see. We got to take our eyes off what we can see, the problems at home, the problems in the news, all the bad news that the world just loves and eats up. We got to take our eyes off that, and we've got to put it on the unseen. We need to know that even though we can't see it always, God is doing a thing we wouldn't believe him even if he told us. Hebrews 11:1, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, and it is the conviction of things what? You got to take your eyes off the seen and put it on the unseen. Basically, friends, to follow God means to step out into uncertainty. You know, there are no promises, there are no guarantees. The only certain thing in your life is that you have a God who loves you and will do whatever it takes to save you. Abraham, Romans 4:18, Abraham who contrary to hope, in hope believed. so that he became the father of many nations. So because, contrary to hope and hope he believed, he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. That's an interesting phrase. It kind of jumped out at me as I was studying this. So it says contrary to hope, in hope believed. It sounds like a contradiction. It sounds like an oxymoron. But it isn't. If you had to sum up this sermon in one sentence, it would be right here. Contrary to hope, in hope believed. Hoping against hope is what you could call it. That's in simple terms. The word contrary means opposite. It's a word that means against. So he hoped against hope. Paul and the Roman Christians, when Paul is writing this letter to the Romans, Paul already expected for Jesus to have returned and liberated them from the Roman Empire. But their reality was the opposite. I'm talking about hoping against hope. It was the opposite. Not only were they still, they were being persecuted by Rome. God promised Abraham that he was going to have a bunch of kids who would have a bunch of kids who would have a bunch of kids. But his reality was the opposite. Has your reality ever been the opposite of your hope? You know, 2019, you were going to lose some weight. You gained some weight. The hope was you were going to lose some weight. The reality is you gained some weight. Your hope was when you made those vows to your spouse in sickness and in health, in good times and bad times. But the reality is you had to file for divorce. You hoped your kids would finally straighten up, but your kids are more messed up than they've ever been before. Can anyone relate to me this morning? You know, our hope is that 2020, I love listening to people's New Year's positivity. It lasts one day. You know, like, this is going to be the best year in the world. And then they start posting some other stuff. You know, our hope is 2020 will be the best year of our lives. But the reality is it's going to be the hardest year for some of us. What do you do when your hope doesn't match up with your reality? Hoping against hope is what it means to be a Christian. You've got to be able to hope even when hope is against you. Even when the world seems to be against you, even when reality, you feel forsaken, you need to have hope that God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You see, this is what gets me about Abraham and why we're going to be looking at this guy and his family for the next couple of weeks is the Bible says that even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept on hoping. We can't make it in this life without hope, Christians. We can't do it. The Greek word for hope means expectation. It's a word that means confidence. Is your confidence in the Lord? You see, we've got to have hope that God is working even when we don't see any results. We have to have faith that God is saving even when we don't see him step in the way we wanted him to step in. We've got to have faith that God will make the mortgage even when the paycheck comes up short. I'm talking about hoping against hope. Married folk, you have to have hope that the next year is going to be better than the last year, even when things go contrary to that hope. Even though you started the new year with your spouse with an argument, you've got to believe this year is going to be better than the last year. You see, this is the thing. Abraham went into the unknown, but he went into it knowing that God was with him. And I've discovered something. I don't need to know what I'm getting into when I know who's going with me. Christ is with me. If God is for me, who can be against me? That's what it means to be confident in the Lord. It doesn't mean we hopscotch through life skipping and like, oh, life is so great. That's ridiculous. Life is not always so great. Sometimes life is tough. Sometimes life is hard. But we keep our eyes on Jesus and we keep walking through the hardship. That's what being confident in the Lord. It's not unrealistic. See, you've got to anticipate that God's going to do something great. And the reason why I believe we do not see the miracles in our lives that we would like to see is because deep, deep, deep down, we don't really believe that God can do it. You've got to anticipate God's going to do something great, even when the cards are stacked against you. Did Abraham have the cards stacked against him? You better believe it, he did. Check it out. He was going to be the father of many nations, but this is his reality. His body was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old. It was physically impossible for Abraham to have children. The Bible says his body was as good as dead. And that's what makes the promise that God gives to Abraham so powerful. And the fact that Abraham never gave up on God, even when his reality was very different. Genesis 15:5, God says, look towards the heaven, Abraham. Number the stars if you can. But he says, so shall your offspring be. Man, if God can do this for a 100-year-old man who cannot have children, then God can deal with the problems in 2020. Amen. Hope against hope. When all the evidence is contrary to God's promise, you can trust in God's promises. Because what is impossible for us, hallelujah, is possible for God. That's what hoping against hope looks like. The New International Version really brought a cool perspective to this text. It said that he faced the facts that his body was as good as dead. You see, hope doesn't mean we ignore the facts. Like I was saying, it doesn't ignore the reality. Hope doesn't ignore the facts. It faces the facts. If we ignore the facts, that's denial. And that doesn't do anybody any good. So you got to face the facts. I had a mentor who would always say, facts are our friends. Sometimes we don't like the facts, but facts are our friends. And so we got to face the facts, because until we face the facts, God cannot help your situation. So until you face the fact that you got a spending problem, God cannot bless your finances. Okay, the problem is not that God's not opened the windows of blessing. He has. You're just spending the money faster than he can pour it out on you. And God ain't going to pour out a blessing on you if it's wasted. See, you got to face the facts that your marriage needs some serious help. And only when you face that fact are you going to get some help. Only until you face the facts that you got a control problem will you let go and let God. You see, until the church faces the facts that it is declining, that Christianity in America is dying, until we face that fact, we will not do what it takes to start growing. We'll keep coming to church. We'll keep playing church while we let the church die and our grandkids have no place to worship God. Amen. All because we had to do it our way. Well, that was good for you. That was terrible for your great-grandchild who now doesn't have a church. We got to face the facts. Until you can admit that you are negative, you can never become positive. Until you can admit that you're a sinner, Christ will never be your savior. Face the facts. That's what I love about 12-step meetings is, you know, they 12-step meetings, whenever you talk, before you talk, you have to introduce yourself. You say, you know, my name is Richie and I'm a addict. My name's Richie, I'm an alcoholic. And it seems kind of simple and like, you know, that's kind of silly, but let me tell you, it is a profound, powerfully spiritual principle. It is a practice of humility. It's about telling on our disease, because you see, denial is a powerful thing. Friends, we run on denial like cars run on gas. All of us do, not just addicts. Everybody runs on denial like cars run on gas. It's a powerful thing. And so whenever an addict starts talking, they recognize, you know, I am an addict, and now what I'm saying, I recognize that I need to hear what I'm saying as much as the person I'm telling it to. That's why I think in the church, we should do something similar. Whenever we say something, we say, my name is Richie, and I am a sinner. Hey, my name is Richie, and I am broken. Because often when we try to fix other people, we forget that we also ourselves need to be fixed. When we give advice to other people, why not give that same advice to you? We got to face the facts. We got to face the facts. But here's the key. Face the facts, but don't focus on them. Don't focus on the problem. You focus on the problem too much and you're going to be in trouble. Romans 4:19 says he did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body. So he did face it. The word considered means looked at. He considered his own body. He faced the facts. Body's as good as dead, but he didn't stay there. You see, instead of focusing on the problem, Abraham kept his eye on the promise. Abraham knew that when you're always focused on the problem, it will weaken your faith. Did Abraham and Sarah have a little weakness in faith there? When they focused on their problem, they took matters into their own hands, and it only compounded the problem. When we focus on the problem, we take the work, we take our lives in our own hands, and let me tell you, my best decisions have gotten me in some of my worst predicaments. And one of our biggest problems is we gotta stop focusing on those, on what's wrong. See, we're always so focused on what's wrong with our situation, we can't ever see anything that's right in our situation. You know, we're always so focused on what the church didn't do for us that we don't see all the other things that the church is doing. You know, the church will put out some news of what some knuckleheaded Christian did who does not represent all of Christianity, and everybody will just say, that's the way you Christians are. That's not the way we are. That's one person. So, you know, it's so easy to focus on the problem. Let me tell you, the church has done more good things than the church has done bad things. You know, that's the reality. Sure, yes, religion was the cause of war for many, many years, but it was also because of the church that we have our hospital system that we have, that we have our universities, Harvard, Yale, you name them, they all started out as seminaries. The church has done so much good, we don't even realize it. But we're always so focused on what it hasn't done for me. We're not asking, what can I do for it? You know, we let what someone says ruin our day. We're always worried about what people say. We're always worried about what the news people say. We're always worried about what the doctors said. But Abraham, he only thought about what God said. And that's where we need to realign our thinking and get our eyes, don't focus on the problem and get it on the promise. Stop letting the wrong thing rent space in your head. Stop listening to the critics. They cannot save you. They cannot condemn you. Who cares what they say? What does the Bible say? So see past the problems all the way to the promise. And see, that's the thing about the devil. If the devil can't get you one way, he'll get you another way. He'll try to get you the first way, which is to get you to ignore your problem and not face the facts. You know, he'll tell you you're pretty okay. You don't need to worry about anything. That's called denial, like we talked about. If he can't get you in the denial, then he'll get you to focus on your problem, and that leads to depression. So he'll get you in the denial, or he'll try to get you into the depression. He'll tell you of all your obstacles. He'll tell you, you know what, you're too bad for God to use you. He'll tell you, you know what? You're too broke to get involved. You're too old to get involved. You're too ugly to get involved. Some of us got some serious cards stacked against us. But that's okay. I mean, you know, the devil was constantly in Abraham's ear saying, look at you, Abraham. You're too old to have kids. Father of many nations, give me a break. You know he was in Abraham's ear saying, look at Sarah, look at your wife. She can't have kids. Look at her. Because when you follow the story, friends, Abraham was not the only one who was dead. The Bible says Sarah's womb was also dead. That's dead plus dead. Dead plus dead equals deader than dead. How in the world can dead plus dead equal life, God? I mean, she's dead, I'm dead. That's a good description of some of our lives. Some of us have got some seriously dead faith. We barely crawled into the church spiritually today. Some of our marriages are dead. Some of our dreams are dead, faith dead. Some of our finances post-Christmas, they're not just dead, they're dead plus dead. we're so broke, we're in the negatives. But the good news is, and we read it at the beginning of this scripture, is we serve a God who specializes in bringing dead things back to life. Dead plus dead with God equals life. Stop considering your problem and start considering your king. Face the problem, but then focus on the promise. No, that's what Abraham did. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God. That connects us to last week's sermon. You see, Abraham, the more contrary to the promise his life got, the more he praised God. Just as Jehoshaphat, when he leads the army into battle, they started worshiping and praising God before they won the battle. He grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. You see, the word waver here means pause. It means hesitate. It means to look back. Friends, God cannot take you where he wants you with you constantly looking back. God convicted you of the Sabbath, so keep it. God convicted you. He brought you to this church, so believe it. God put a calling on your life. Step out in it. God saved your guts. Take care of the guts that he saved. Stop looking back. Stop wavering. I hope you know that 2019's miracles will not help you in 2020. 2020 needs its own set of miracles. What the church did 100 years, praise the Lord, they did it because otherwise we wouldn't have a church and it's important. But we've got to keep moving forward. We got to keep doing what God tells this generation and these people to do. We've got to have trust to get going. You see, there is only one direction for the church and it's going forward. Stop wavering, stop hesitating, get going. You see, not only did Abraham not waver, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. His faith got stronger the more contrary to the promise his predicament became. See, everyone can shout after the battle is won. That's easy. Everyone can sing blessed assurance when the week has gone well. Everyone can return the tithe when the bills are paid. Everyone can come to church when it's convenient to come to church. Everyone can get involved when it fits into their schedule. Everyone can stay in a marriage when everything's hunky-dory. But come on now, it's not always hunky-dory. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it hurts. Can you give God the glory amidst the pain? Everyone can praise God when they get the promotion, but can you praise God when there is no promotion even on the horizon? Where your employers step right over you and they give it to the guy who's only been there 5 years and you've been here 20 years. Can you still praise God? It's easy to say to God be the glory when you get the good diagnosis, but can you praise God when the doctors tell you there is no hope? Can you hope against hope without wavering? See, God wants some people who will give him glory before all the promises come true. God wants some people who are going to be faithful to him before he shows up at the second coming. Man, he wants some people, as we saw last week. Judah praised God, like I said, before the battle was won. Start praising God today for what might not take place until tomorrow, next week, next month, or maybe even next year. Praise God for what might not happen for 25 years. Man, I'm going to start praising God for when this church has to plant a church, which plants a church, so that we can finish the work and we can go home. Amen. I'm going to praise God and give glory to God today for all the people I'm going to see by the sea of glass because of the tireless work that Bowman Hills committed to in reaching the city of Cleveland. I'm giving God glory today for saving my children for eternity. Because I've told God, and kids, you guys, man, my mom prayed this for me. I'm praying it for you. I said, Lord, whatever it takes, I want to see my kids in glory. And when you pray that prayer, God's going to do whatever it takes. Just like Abraham, I am fully convinced that God is able to do what he promised. What about you? Are you convinced that God loves you? Man, are you convinced that God has forgiven you? Are you convinced that he wants what's best for you? Are you convinced that when all hell is breaking loose here, that the gates of hell shall not prevail against you? See, I've discovered there's only one thing that will ever ultimately convince you of God's love and that God has you. It's one thing, and it's one word, it's seven letters, Calvary. That is the only thing that can convince any of us. That was heaven's final way to convince you. God's done everything to convince you that he loves you. And if Calvary doesn't convince you that God loves you, nothing will. When God gave his son, he gave all of heaven, man. He had no more left to give. Man, Christ went to the cross to convince you that he can save you. Christ went to the cross to convince you that he loves you, to convince you that there is no sin great enough, and there is no blood that can't cover up, and there's no mountain high enough, and there's no valley low enough, and there's no river wide enough to keep him from getting to you. Thank you, Jesus. I hope against hope. Romans 4:21, Abraham was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. I want you to say that with me. Whatever he promises. That is such an amazing promise. Abraham was convinced that God could do whatever he promises. That's the kind of faith I want stepping into 2020. That God can do whatever he promises. You see, 2019 was tough for me. I lost my best friend suddenly. And but yet, I know and I praise God today for the day I'll see my friend Stacy again. Because you see, Jesus promised, I am the resurrection and the life, and whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Amen. And so I'm going to praise God today for the reunion that's going to take place when Christ returns. Whatever he promises, man. Revelation says he will wipe away every tear from their eye. Death shall be no more. Depression shall be no more. Suicide shall be no more. There will be no more mourning, crying, pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Whatever he promises. Abraham believed whatever he promises. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again, so that where I am, you may be also. Whatever God promises. You see, I'm convinced that because of the cross, every promise that God has made to me will come true in Christ Jesus. Not because I do everything right, but because Christ did everything right. And Paul tells the church in Corinth, all the promises of God find their yes in Christ. I am convinced that some people going to the dope house are going to start coming to the church house. I am convinced that some addicted people are going to become some set free people. Some broken people are going to become healed people. That some mean people are going to become some nice people. That some lost people are going to become saved people. If God could give a bunch of kids to, if he could make Abraham the father of many nations when he was dead and his wife was dead, if God could give all those kids to someone like that, then God can overcome whatever obstacle you're facing. Life is uncertain. We don't know what's happening from one day to the next, but this is certain, that God loves you. If Jesus could defeat death, then Jesus can save you. Let Calvary convince you. Christ went to the cross in order to get you into heaven. He's not up there wet. He's not up there with his arms crossed. He's up there with his arms open to bring you in. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, who here is a whosoever? Man, I'm a whosoever. I am, that means anyone. Hallelujah. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Ephesians 3:20 says he is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think. If you want God to exceed your expectations, don't get surprised when he doesn't do things you expect. You know, we'll pray for God to exceed our expectations. We'll pray this prayer. Lord, do exceedingly abundantly more than I could ever ask. And then we get mad at him when he doesn't act the way we want him to act. Facing uncertainty, face it with the reality that the God of the universe has got you in the palm of his hand. So don't you dare give up. Don't you dare stop fighting. The devil wouldn't be attacking you if God did not have a plan for you. If God did not want to use your marriage, the devil wouldn't be attacking it. Everything that could have destroyed us, friends, this is what you need to know today. Everything that could have destroyed you, Christ ultimately destroyed on Calvary. He took it into his body and he killed it so that one day you, although you may die, will one day live for eternity and never die. Most gracious God, we thank you and we praise you for all that you have done and all that you are doing and all that you will continue to do. Lord, I just pray in the mighty name of Jesus that as we leave this place uncertain of really anything, we can be certain that you love us with an everlasting love. That the only one who knows absolutely everything about us still gave his life for all of us. That God, being the author and the finisher, the Alpha and the Omega, Lord, you knowing the end from the beginning, you knew before you even made us that we would sin and it would send your son to Calvary. And yet you love us so much that you still made us anyway. I pray that reality, Lord, of Calvary's love will go all the way from our head down into our hearts, and it will convince us today that God, that you absolutely love us. That you have forgiven us. That if Christ is our Savior, there is nothing that can separate us from your love. Lord, I pray that reality is each of ours. As we are on the beginning of a new year, may you renew our faith. May we learn to have this hope, even when it's against hope. Teach us to trust in you no matter what. Even when the world is falling apart, we know that you still love, you still live, and you still save. We thank you, we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.